Hey, you want that to go?
To go, yes. Our latest takeout on stories we want you to be on top of comes directly out of the conversation we were having with Congressman Henry Waxman. Todd Zwillick joins us now, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Todd, you heard Congressman Waxman sounding fairly confident that a public option is going to be in a final bill from the House and Senate. Do you believe him?
I actually do, John. Henry Waxman has to be pleased with the news out of the Democratic caucus last night that the Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, will pursue this sort of more liberal version of the public option that gets them in at something like $870 billion. He's got to be happy with it because liberals like Waxman have always been pushing for this strong public option based on Medicare rates, because that sort of keeps costs down and it gets more people covered. The CBO score on that bill,
Congressional
that Pelosi
Budget
likes,
Office.
I always miss that one. You know, that's that one acronym I always miss. Congressional Budget Office score on that Pelosi bill we're talking about is that it would cover 96% of legal residents. That's a high number. That's way higher than the Senate.
And be cheaper than the Senate? The Senate is like $900 billion, if I'm not mistaken.
A little bit cheaper, around the same price. And the reason why is because of that Medicare rate. Those Medicare rates aren't very high. It's why doctors hate them. It's why members from rural states don't like them, because they're even lower in rural states. You know, they're not the same in every part of the country. So you get a lot more people covered for a lot less money. That sounds great on a policy level. It's not easy politically. So you ask me, do I believe Waxman? Yes, I believe that they will get some form of public option. That's starting to become clear in Congress. They're not going to get the version that Congressman Waxman and Speaker Pelosi like. They're going to get something that has higher payment rates for hospitals and doctors and health clinics and people like that.
All right, listen to one comment of Waxman's, and I want to ask you about it here.
We cannot afford the unsustainable costs in our health care system, so we've got to accomplish holding down costs, especially in the future, the growth of health care, at the same time that we're asking people to get insurance to cover it.
All right, so that's Congressman Waxman just a few moments ago right here on the program. And he's talking about keeping costs down. And I noticed that he endorses a public option and says it will improve competition even in places that only have a couple of insurance options, like, say, North Dakota or states out west. But won't the public option put those other options out of business if it results in costs going down and reimbursements going down?
Well, that's part of the argument, of course, that rural politicians and people from rural areas make, which is that they already have such a tenuous market to begin with that this could even make it worse. And that's why they're going to be pushing for something opposite of what Waxman wants. This whole thing based on Medicare drives them nuts because their Medicare rates are already
so
low. So what they want, and what's starting to happen in the Senate, and you see some very powerful rural lawmakers like Kent Conrad from North Dakota, as you mentioned, who's also chairman of the Budget Committee, and on that Finance Committee, I could go for a public option, but he's starting to repeat over and over now again, not based on Medicare rates. And what he's saying is something based on what's called negotiated rates. This means something based on private rates like insurance companies negotiate now. He thinks that that's true competition with the, you know, one or two private insurance companies that exist in North Dakota now. A public option that competes on the same rates that they negotiate on could be real competition in his view. So this could be leading towards some kind of public option, but not quite as strong as Waxman and Pelosi want.
Well, confidence from Henry Waxman, who we spoke with a moment ago, and analysis there from Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Thanks, Todd.
Now let's move to business. Louise Story's away this week, so our friend Dan Gross, columnist for Newsweek and Slate, is filling in for her. And Dan, it seems like we're looking for any positive sign of an economic recovery, and we have kind of one now, right? The businesses selling to other businesses are reporting some positive earnings.
Right. Caterpillar came out yesterday and said its earnings looked better than expected and was optimistic. Caterpillar, of course, makes tractors and construction equipment. We have been seeing for the last few months, especially with the rise in the stock market at the same time that unemployment is rising, a kind of cleavage between how corporations are doing and how consumers are doing. Obviously, with the stock market going up, it seems like corporations are doing better, getting their house in order, consumers still suffering. And we're starting to see signs now. Intel came out, said its earnings are a little better than expected, selling chips to things that are used for business computers, Caterpillar, Parker Hannifin, which is a chemical company, again, saying, you know, they're still down from last year, but they've hit bottom and things are looking up. They're more optimistic about 2010. That's good news for the economy at large, good news for those companies. But the reality is that the consumer is still 70%
exactly.
of the economy.
Yeah, and you know, every time we do one of these, look, here's a good sign of the economic recovery stories, we get responses from listeners saying, look, when am I going to see signs of the economic recovery in my kitchen?
Well, if you happen to work for one of those companies or are seeking employment at one of those companies, maybe there will be some positive signs. The larger issue is that we are going through a years-long adjustment where a lot of resources, human resources, financial resources that were devoted to consumption, people buying stuff, retail stores, et cetera, that's not coming back because that was all fueled by credit, which has disappeared, and we are going to have to work on,
So we're not restaurants and retailers not showing their profits going up.
Exactly. It's going to be a tough Christmas for retailers. You're going to continue to see more failures. The job market is still rather poor. The other big issue and the other kind of reason for this cleavage is the rest of the world is doing better than the U.S. is at this moment. And what you see is a lot of these big industrial companies, their sales, like Caterpillar, are being driven by the fact that people are still buying construction equipment and tractors in places like India and China. Again, if you work at the Gap or work at a law firm in town, it doesn't do you a lot of good. But this is one of the kind of recurring features of this halting recovery we're going to keep seeing.
Dan Gross, thanks so much. Columnist for Newsweek and Slate.
So bulldozers for Christmas, maybe.
Maybe.
<That's> Our last takeout is a recollection of our conversation yesterday. Who's getting ready for winter?
Our state shelter system has been full for the past couple of years now. Right now we have over 1,030 families in motels across the state, which is on top of our 2,000 shelter units. And compared to last year, we had about 600 families in motels. So we've gone up significantly in the past couple of years.
That was Libby Hayes, executive director of Homes for Families in Boston, talking about preparations for the homeless for winter.
Yeah, we also spoke to two people who'd lost their jobs and ended up in homeless shelters. But one listener had this to say. Here's Greg in Boston.
I sympathize for these people, but these are not the people that are living under the bridge about two blocks from where I am right now in Charlestown. Some of these people have education programs and private shelters, but again, I walk past people living out of shopping carts, and those are homeless. Now we have various classes of homeless. Some are better off than others.
And we got a call from Mimi in Detroit who had an epiphany from her daughter.
My daughter the other day, all of a sudden she looked around and she saw homeless people. Maybe for the first time in her life she recognized it. And then she looked, and there was what was Farmer Jack's, an old grocery store that chain that's closed. She said, that building could be used to put those people in. Why don't they do that?
Your story is at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
The Takeaway is supported by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live a healthy, productive life. Information at gatesfoundation.org. And by the Skoll Foundation, supporting social entrepreneurs around the world. Uncommon heroes dedicated to the common good. Learn more at skoll.org.